Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Neo Gentrix, and this is Food for Thought. It has been a while. There is so much stuff going on. I have no idea between the pandemic, the people, and everything that's been going on. So much stuff. And then in the last 2 months, I know this is coming out pretty late, and I haven't put out any in the last couple of months, but I mean, we've been dealing with so many people in my family, you know, just getting sick for whatever reasons. The good news is that none of them have died to COVID, but the only downside to this is that they were still sick regardless, and a lot of them passed away, including my grandmother on my dad's side. So, but with that being said, that's not going to deter me. We're still going to do this. So let's get started. We're talking about negotiations. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and do what we normally do and get started. So the topic is negotiation. Not something anyone or everyone is pretty much unfamiliar with. It's something that's existed for a while. Negotiation by trade is a method by which people settle their differences. It is a process by which compromise and agreement is reached without avoiding argument. While avoiding argument and dispute. I mean, in any disagreement, most individuals usually understandably aim to achieve the best possible outcome for their position, or perhaps an organization they represent, more often than not. But, however, the principles of fairness and seeking mutual benefits while maintaining that same relationship are the main key and the main source of outcome from a negotiation. I mean, think about it. There are specific forms of negotiations that are used in many different situations, including international affairs, legal systems, governments, industrial disputes, domestic relationships, for one. Just to give an example of how they're used and what they're best represented for. However, the whole thought of general negotiation skills is often learned but and applied in a wide range of activities. Negotiation skills can be a great benefit. I mean, using it to resolve differences that arise between you and others, whether it's a relationship standpoint or not, is a whole different thing in itself. And there are different stages to negotiation. This is something to keep in mind. And in order to achieve the desirable outcome that most people want, it's useful to follow a structured approach. For example, in a working situation or a meeting, it may need to be arranged in which all parties involved can come together and reach a reasonable solution. So I would recommend this process above others. And it's a 6-step process. We'll go into each one individually, but I want to go ahead and point out the 6 steps. The first one is preparation. The second one is discussion. Third would be to clarify the goals that everyone's trying to win. Then 4, negotiate towards a win-win outcome where everybody's happy. Agree upon that action, which is the 5th thing. And then 6 would be to implement it. So, or find a way to implement it so that it happens. These are the mainstays for negotiations in a basic outcome, regardless of the circumstance and the setup, so that everyone can come to a conclusion that everyone's happy about. That's typically how this works. But it depends on situation to situation. Some situations may not be that simple, and others may require a little more work, but this depends on the circumstance to which you stand for and how it goes about it. And believe it or not, well, I do say this in the terms of it referring to a business sense, this also applies to relationships as well. The problem that a lot of relationships have, and I'm not going to go too in-depth in this, is because I already did an entire podcast on relationships in the past, so if you want to check that out, go ahead. The mainstay is that people seem to forget that a relationship is two-sided of the same coin. You both marry each other, you become one, which means that you need to find a way to negotiate with each other, find an equal opportunity set up in a way where both sides are happy, and deal that way. Most people can't even do that. So when something goes wrong, they're like, well, you didn't do this for me, so I'm not doing this for you. That's not how this works. You both live together, I would assume. If you're married, you have to deal with each other. You both had kids together. You have to find a way to cooperate with each other to get along. Obviously, y'all did at some point before you got married. So And I would say go back to whatever helps you get the relationship going in the beginning and start there. Remember, a relationship is nothing different than the same thing as being friends with each other, just with more perks and benefits. You don't really need to change anything. The only difference is now you live with each other, you get to see each other's habits and faults, you get to learn from each other and compensate for each other's weaknesses. That's the only main differences. Nothing really changes. Keep that in mind. Now let's go on to the first step and explaining the first step of negotiation, preparation. All right, everybody, we're back. Let's go ahead and get started with number one, preparation. So before any type of, how do I put it, negotiation takes place, okay, a decision needs to be taken as to when and where a meeting will take place to discuss the problem and, you know, who will attend. Setting a limited time scale can also be helpful to prevent the disagreement that's going on from continuing and getting potentially worse. The thing to keep in mind about this stage is it involves ensuring all the pertinent facts of the situation are known in order to clarify your own position on the matter. So you're not going into this half-cocked with barely a glimmer of the idea of what you need to do. That's never a good idea. Okay. In the work example I gave before, this would include knowing the rules of your organization, to whom help is also given, when help is not felt appropriate and the grounds for such refusals exist. You need to know how those work. Your organization may as well have policies to which you can refer in preparation for the negotiation that's about to take place. This is to also keep you out of any legal trouble with the company you work with, since you're the one in charge of whatever negotiations that are afoot that you have to take care of. And undertaking the preparation beforehand, before discussing any of the disagreements and such, will also help avoid further conflict and any unnecessary wasting of time during the meeting as you're trying to do this. Okay? Second, discussion. During this stage, individuals and or members of each side of the conflict put forward the case as they see it with their understanding of what the situation is. There are key skills for this, such as questioning, listening, clarifying. I'll cover questioning later on this week, because it's definitely something I feel like people should understand how to do. Sometimes it's helpful to take notes during the discussion stage to record all that points, all the points that are referring to the case, further in the case, so that there's no need for constant clarification of what's being said. Key points are definitely important. It's also extremely important to listen, as when disagreement takes place, so it's easy not to say the wrong thing, because it's so easy to make a mistake by either saying too much or not enough. So if you're listening instead of talking, it'll also help you understand whether or not someone's trying to pull something over on you. Each side should have an equal opportunity to present their case, however. Don't cut them off. Don't try to shove your point in. Don't try to disagree. It doesn't matter if you disagree. Hear them out. Hear everything they have to say. Think about what you're going to say. Think about what you had to say, what your issues were, and see if they're having a similar issue, or if one of their issues is the reason why you're having a problem. By doing this, step three, you can clarify everybody's goals. Okay? For this discussion that we're using here, the goals, interests, and viewpoints of both sides of the disagreement need to be clarified. This goes back to the whole listening thing. Okay? It's helpful to list these facts in order of priority, though through this clarification, it's often possible to identify or at least establish some common ground. Clarification is an essential part of negotiation. So without it, misunderstandings are definitely likely to occur and can cause even more problems, if not create even more barriers that become harder to reach or overcome, which in trying to reach a beneficial outcome, this is a very big issue. So let's keep that in mind. Thank you.
All right. So, moving on to number four, right? So, we need to negotiate towards a type of win-win outcome, okay? Basically, this stage focuses on, how do I put it? On what is termed as a win-win outcome. Basically, where both sides feel like they have gained something positive or something in general through this entire process of negotiation. Basically, you're giving them that feeling of satisfaction, like they got what they want and, you know, they can move on with their lives. In some cases, it feels like to them, well, they think they're getting what they want. It could also mean that they think that they're getting over on you when in reality, you're just making this as equal as possible. So it just depends. Okay. Essentially, what all the negotiating is doing is basically making both sides feel as though their point of view has been taken into consideration. Never try to use the negotiation for nefarious purposes or just to get your own agenda passed, because in the process of doing this, you might end up making an enemy of both sides, and that's what you want to avoid. Okay? Especially if you're trying to become a chief negotiator. Alright, a win-win outcome is usually the best result, but there are other results. Although, this may not always be possible, keep that in mind, that through the negotiation, it should be the ultimate goal to achieve this outcome, but it's not always plausible, okay? There's always suggestions of alternate strategies, compromises that could be considered at this point. Compromises are often positive alternatives, which can often affect or help you achieve an even greater benefit based off the concerns of the two parties compared to their original positions. Okay? So, after that, we have step five. The agreement. Right? Agreements can be achieved only once understanding of both sides and both viewpoints have been considered and interests of theirs have been put on the table. It's very essential for everybody involved to keep an open mind in order to make this even acceptable as an outcome or possible solution. Any agreements need to be made, need to be as perfectly clear as possible so that both sides know what has been decided, okay? Otherwise, this whole shebang was worth nothing in the long run, okay? With that being said, sixth and final step to this whole ordeal is implementing a course of action. Alright? There's several different ways of doing this, but for now, this is the one we're going to focus on. From the agreement, a course of action needs to be implemented to carry through the decision. Okay? Now, this can be done through strategic thinking and action planning. But these are topics I'm going to cover later, so you can look forward to that in more detail. But these fields allow for you to think about everything that's being considered, find a way for everything to work together as needed, and then planning a form of attack, or action planning, if you will, of how to go about doing it, stating it, showing it, putting it on paper so everybody understands how it's going to happen, and then pushing it through. Okay? Okay. Now we've talked about the six steps of negotiating and how to get through the whole process. But there's some things I need you to understand, things that need to be noted moving forward. And one of those things is failure to agree. Okay? This can happen. How this happens is as follows. Let's see if I can simplify this as much as possible. But if the process of negotiation happens to break down, and an agreement cannot be reached, then reschedule a further meeting to try this again, okay? Never just kind of let it end. Never just let it burn out, okay? If you're really striving for a certain type of outcome, or that's what you're hoping for, you cannot let it fizzle out, okay? This avoids all parties becoming basically embroiled in a heated discussion or argument, which leads nowhere or can come down to an all-out brawl, or worse, have the police involved, or in more higher stakes settings, lawyers and legal officials, which we don't need because mostly of, let's how to put this. Those guys are super expensive, and in some cases, while some are really, really nice, most of those legal officials and or lawyers or attorneys are dicks. And they just care about how much money you can put in their pocket, okay? Now, like I said, you want to avoid all the parties becoming embroiled and heated in a weird discussion-type argument or thing, okay? Not only does this waste time, but it can also damage any future relationships that you and whichever parties or companies or businesses you're trying to negotiate on behalf of have already. So the relationship's already strained, this is only going to make it worse. Now, at the subsequent meetings, the stages of negotiation should also be repeated again to see if there's any new ideas or interests that should be taken into account, and then looking at the situation as a fresh encounter, okay? At this stage, it may also be helpful to look at other alternative solutions and bring in another person to also mediate as well, okay? You never just want one person looking at this. Now, with that being mentioned, there is this other form of negotiation called informal negotiation, okay? And there are times when there's a need to negotiate more informally, okay? You don't need a formal setting like the ones I mentioned already. And at such times when differences of opinions arise, it might not be possible or appropriate to go through the stages set out, as I listed before, in a formal manner, okay? Don't let that deter you, though. Remembering the key points in the stages of formal negotiation may be very helpful also in a variety of, like, how do I put, informal situations such as, you know, a husband and wife not getting along, or cousins, family, friends, relatives, you know, lower end stuff. And, but at any rate, in any negotiation, okay, the following three elements I'm about to say are important and likely to affect the ultimate outcome of any negotiation regardless of how you take it. One, the attitudes of the people involved, including yourself. Two, knowledge of the situation and everyone else around you, as well as what they want. And your three, your interpersonal skills, which we've already covered on this channel and this podcast, and how you can improve those. There's still a lot more for me to cover on interpersonal skills, but we'll cover those as we go. Those are the main keys, mainstays for an informal negotiation. Okay, so with pretty much all of that out of the way, let me go ahead and dive into these three points real quick and get straight to it. Okay, first I mentioned attitudes, then knowledge and interpersonal skills. So when I say attitudes, first off, what I'm saying is, how do I put this? All negotiation is strongly influenced by the underlying attitudes that are used for the process itself. For example, to the issues and personalities involved in a particular case, or the attitudes linked to the personal needs for recognition that are needed for the negotiation to take place. Now, things to be aware of are that negotiation is not an arena for the realization of individual achievements. Okay, keep yourself out of it. Second, there cannot be resentment of the need to negotiate by those in authority, okay? And if you're the one who has the authority for the negotiation, you definitely don't want to deny it. Also, you don't want to have an attitude about it at all. And then lastly, certain features of negotiation, with this in mind, may influence a person's behavior. Okay. For example, some people may become defensive as the negotiation takes place or before it ever gets started. That being said, bringing up that second point I mentioned earlier, knowledge. The more knowledge you possess of the issues in question, okay, the greater your participation in the process of any kind of negotiation will matter. Essentially, good preparation is very essential for this entire ordeal. You have to do your homework and gather as much of the information as you can regarding the issues at hand. Okay? In such a way, issues are negotiated. It must be understood as negotiation, which, depending on the circumstances, will require different methods at the time. Again, your interpersonal skills, which is the last one, are essential for effective negotiations, both in formal situations and less formal situations, or on just a one-on-one negotiation. Believe it or not, and you're going to probably find this hard to believe, I use these types of same tactics, while informally, with my girlfriend on a day-to-day basis. There are times she wants to do things that I don't want to do, and I have to find some type of compromise. The only way to do this for me, though, is for me to negotiate something that I know she wants in order for me to get what I want, okay? Now, when it comes down to it, your interpersonal skills fall back on your ability to verbally communicate, your listening skills, your ability to reduce misunderstandings, building rapport, okay, problem solving, your ability to make decisions, your assertiveness in the whole ordeal, and then dealing with difficult situations. If you can master all of these things, you can possibly master the ability to negotiate. It's all up to you. At the end of the day, this is all you. That being said, I want to thank you guys for staying with me for as long as you have been since 2018 when we first got started, despite the spottiness. And I look forward to having you guys listen to me as I start this whole thing back up again. You should start seeing episodes again almost daily. It's going to be slow in the beginning, but hopefully, if any of you guys still remain listening to me, I still have your support, and I want to thank you all for that. With that being said, that's the end of it today. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, Season 2. I'll catch y'all next time.